Lord, and listen to the music that you brought us today. Lord, I ask that you be with those that are here, be with those that are out in our community watching us on Facebook. We do thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Ministry Center, everyone. We have a video to show you, but first, our prayer meetings online at 6 o'clock on, I changed it. So on Tuesday nights, we will have prayer meeting online. Then Thursday night, we will have our Bible study. We finished up chapter 7. I apologize on chapter 7 Bible study if anybody tuned in. Normally somebody would tell me, hey, you're too loud or something's going on. And
I did.
On Wednesday, on Thursday?
One of the
days. No, Thursday night. So I deleted the study, but it's part of technology. But we're working on it constantly, you know. Not perfect, but we'll make it work. Also, the shoe boxes, we have them over here. We got 8 standing by right now. Somebody donated $25 so we could do our get a few more shoe boxes going. So if you don't want to deal with all that, you could go online and they will shop for you. They will package for you. They will do everything for you. All you got to do is click the amount of money that they're asking for someone to do the shoe box. And it's $25 per shoe box. It might be worth it for some of you, for those who are concerned about COVID. So, but if you want to take boxes now, we have a bunch of them over here. So, also, Miss Lisa is requesting stuff for a where they could buy with Monopoly money before Christmas. So if you have anything, no?
No, they're using
Monopoly. Oh, to buy a Christmas present. I knew she should have said something, not me. Anyways, they're using the Monopoly money to buy Christmas presents, but you guys have to donate the stuff so they could buy. So we want, what's the term I want to use?
No.
They will get Monopoly money. Watch this. When you record. So any questions on that? Lisa will answer your questions. So just bring in some toys and some stuff that they could buy with their Monopoly money that they earn during the Bible study time frame. Okay? So, no Thanksgiving dinner this year.
Not on Thursday, the day before.
Here at the church, the 21st. There'll be no Thanksgiving dinner. Yes. We delayed it till next year. Just out of concern. No. We,
what if we show up at your house?
I don't know. The Thanksgiving Day, I guess, you know. I'll just make sure I plan a few more extra seats.
Please do.
Okay. So, I'm sorry to do that, but we just felt, Pastor Martin and I just needed to set that aside for a little bit. We are planning on to doing something yet. I have not talked to Lisa and Linda about this stuff yet, but we will honor those who are needs help. So, but if you guys want a dinner, Salvation Army is having their Thanksgiving dinner in Oroville and Chico. So look them up. Okay. So any questions? Austin, the video, please.
With children, they get a box and they have no idea what's in this box, what they're about to receive, and the countdown happens and the cheers just erupt everywhere. My university started doing packing parties right before National Collection Week, and so that's when I really got involved with it.
So the journey of a shoebox starts in sending countries like the United States, with local groups or individuals packing shoeboxes and then donating them during National Collection Week in November. From there, they go to a processing center.
It's an amazing experience to be in the processing center working towards the same goal of reaching kids with the gospel.
From there, they'll be sent all around the world.
Could be the first present that they've ever received. It could be something that their family specifically needs in that moment.
A shoebox is so much more than just a shoebox. A shoebox is such an incredible opportunity for a child to get to know Jesus, and then not just that, but for that family to also get to know Jesus.
After that, the children are invited back to the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program.
These children have the opportunity to go through classes to learn about the gospel.
In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Right now, as a college student, I can't really go around the world and share the gospel, but I can share the gospel with people by packing shoeboxes. By packing my shoebox, I could reach a child somewhere in Southeast Asia.
It can be a way to just show them that someone cares, just knowing that someone out there loves them, and just knowing that, like, God loves them in this tangible way.
I feel like I'm just a student. I can't make an impact.
I thought that this was a way to serve others. As a student, you can make an impact missionally.
To be part of something global, the global mission, without even having to go overseas.
To give back to so many, that's something I want to do and continue doing with my life.
You can make a difference by packing a shoebox. Jesus himself said, let the little children come. They hear the good news. They can't contain it. Kids can't contain something that's exciting to them. They spread it out. I would say they're the greatest evangelist.
Sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire. I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it fulfills the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup. Took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourself. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Father, I do thank you for the blood you shed for us, that you are magnificent and you are the Son of God that takes the sins of the world away. Father, we do thank you for your sacrifice for us, that we don't have to do it. We thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. You may drink. Then he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which I've given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took up after saying, this is a cup of new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you. Behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. Truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to the man whom he is betrayed. Father, we do thank you for, again, going to the cross. As we remember you, as we take this cup and this bread and think about you and your suffering, and you brought life to us through the resurrection of your body. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your work that you've done and that you are going to do now through the Holy Spirit. We do thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Steve, Ryan,
Aaron.
Linda.
You too.
Me. God's got this one. Me. I will, They did this awful test about a month ago. I mean, it was bad. And they came and says, oh, your heart's skipping a beat or two here and there. So they gave me some medication. Then they did another test that was terrible. And they found out there wasn't enough blood flow going into the left side of the heart. So hopefully next week I will go for a healing too. And what is it? Angiograph, where they shoot dye throughout your body to see if where the blockage or where the blood flow is not participating. So everything's going to be fine, I think. Okay, yes, sir. I don't think I'm going to die, but, you know, it's just. Nation, yes. True. So, anyone else?
Still praying for my grandma.
Grandma?
Mm-hmm.
She's still in hospital?
I can't believe so.
Hey,
yes?
I got another one from my best buddy, Ray. He's been going through some tough times, and I'm really worried about him.
Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. We ask that you will just hear our prayers and our praise today, that you would take the glory for all this that is happening in people. Give our people comfort in knowing that you are the creator. You are the one who sets things in motion. And Father, maybe through these hardships, we'd be able to get closer to you in this process. Father, we pray for Steve as he continues to wait for a transplant and that he will be healed. And Lord, we ask for Erin that she also, health-wise, that you heal her also, because you're the creator. You can do anything you want, Lord. We thank you for that. We pray for Ryan's hip, that it will get better and that he'd be able to walk a little bit better. And we pray for his family. And Ray, and we just ask that you will just touch that family. You know what it is, and you have the control. You have the wisdom that we don't see. And you could touch their hearts also. Father, we do thank you for Linda. Give her strength today. And Lord. Lord, we ask that you just comfort her heart through this hardship she's going through. We pray for Chelsea's grandma as she's still in the hospital, that you will heal her body and take her out of the hospital. And Lord, we thank you for that. We ask that you will get all the glory in this medical and cancer and all the things that's going on. We pray for those who are still concerned about the COVID, that you will just take the fear out of their hearts and allow you to take over in their hearts. And Lord, we ask that you just be with them. We ask for those who are on Facebook that has fear, that you will take that fear away. We pray for our ministries here, that you will continue blessing and continue helping us grow it through this ordeal that we have. Father, we just ask that you take this day, use it for your glory, and take this hour and use it for your glory also. We thank you for your day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is the time to give your offerings and tithes if you choose, or peace, meditate upon the stuff that we just prayed about. Mic to get yelled at me. I don't want to get yelled at today. No. Anyways, I always like to use this scenario or this illustration. When I was drinking Coca-Cola, I used to drink 6 cans a day. You know, that was a lot of Coke. And Coca-Cola, that is, please. Don't get me wrong. Huh? When I was going to college, I would drink a case a night because I would be up till 2 o'clock in the morning typing. And my wife would say, quit packing and just type. And anyways, but as you drink Coca-Cola, it's a name brand, is it not? Nike is a main brand, is it not? And Pepsi is a non-brand. Now, I love Coke. I can't drink it, but I love it. I love Diet Coke and I love Diet Pepsi. Pepsi, so all those are main brand sodas. Now, let's go to the other. Shasta is trying to compete with Coca-Cola. Have you tasted Shasta Cola compared to Coca-Cola? They try to compete because they want somebody to go to the cheaper side into the real stuff. And I've seen that. Even with Diet Coke, they got diet whatever. And I always liked the real stuff, the real thing, they call it back then. Pepsi, the real thing. So when somebody tries to double down the main stuff, it's like, what are you doing? And you see the commercial where they put Pepsi and Coke different, right? Oh, this is Pepsi, this is Coke, and they try to pit each other against each other. But I bet you if you took Shasta Cola and you put Coca-Cola next to each other, and you would tell the difference, right? Okay, now, Second Peter talks about false prophet and a false teacher. For those who study their Bibles well, they tend to, certain words tend to pierce your ears. And there are churches out there that teaches a false doctrine. And when I mean a doctrine, the doctrine is what you believe Scripture is. You got pre-millennium, you got millennium, you got all these stuff out there. But people say it's all the same. It's not all the same. We don't all believe the same. Okay? We don't. We believe in the fundamental part. So that's the key. But John the Baptist, for example, baptized the Israelites in water. You know, they baptized, repent. But there are churches out there who sprinkles. That's not what Scripture says. You'd be baptized in the name of Christ. And Christ was baptized in water. It was came up. And this is what really bothers me sometimes when I see this stuff, because I know the stuff that they teach is not Scripture. Yet people, I think people don't go for the Bible to church, I think. I think they go for the social clubs, and they get involved with people, and that's what keep them going. There's a pastor out there, I won't mention his name, they get upset because all he does is talk about one verse during his preaching, and he has an hour service. And people get upset. Why are you only doing one verse? Why not do the whole? Well, pick and choose, as we talked about before. People go into church, and they want to listen to the music. They're done with the music. They go home. Some will like Scripture, so they come in until after music is done, and they come in. Christ, God, the Holy Spirit wants us to worship together as a group. He don't want us to pick and choose what we want to do in the church. We're supposed to be there together and worship together. And Peter says that, hey, you know, think of the false doctrine that's going out there. So if you got your Bible, go to 2 Peter chapter 2. And think of the Coca-Cola issue. Because it's the real thing. Pepsi's the real thing. Anything after that, not so good. Now, some may disagree with me. Hi. How you doing? Some may disagree with me, but that's okay, because where we go to the Scriptures, and Peter speaks of it. Once I find it. Huh? 2 Peter chapter 2. There it is. I found it. Yes. But Peter talks about the false teachers. Now, I'm sure you guys heard of the sheep's clothing. You got the wolf in sheep clothing. I was thinking of the three little pigs when I was thinking of that. The three little pigs. They go to a house, huff, huff, I'm going to blow your house down. And they did. So, and then they go to this other house. They go, knock, knock, this little pig, let me in or I'm going to blow your house down. And then they go to the house that was built by brick. And it brings me to the topic where Christ says, build yourself on solid rock. Now, that might be true, because in Mississippi, they have to build their house on pillars. I think it's 10 feet high or 6 feet high, and you know, to keep the damage from going on. And when we as Christians, we need to build our house upon Jesus, who is the rock, and make sure that nobody could blow it down. Not even the false prophet or the false teachers can blow the house down, because it's built upon Christ, the solid rock, the tradition, solid rock. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. So which one of you are false teachers? Who will secretly bring in destruction, heresy, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destructions. Now, there's a church in Corning that belonged to a Southern Baptist church. They had three preachers in the organization. And you ever heard the old phrase, too many cooks spoils the pot? Well, I think too many preachers spoils the pot in the sanctuaries. And this, you know, we got too many people that are trying to fight for the pulpit. And there are people who will listen to just tickling of their ears to choose the one they want. You know, and it goes on. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words for a long time. Their judgment has not been idle, and their destructions do not slumber. False teachers are out there to tear you down. He's not going to build you up. He's going to get you to the point where you're going to believe what he says, do what he says, and then you're going to be in a cult. And there's many cults out there. And you know what is really upsetting is they don't go for the old people. Maybe. But too much. They go for the young college kids who just got out of high school. Because majority of the kids who leave house and learn scripture and learn from their parents, their Christian parents, they leave and they go to college and they get wrapped up in all kinds of stuff. And if you have a false teacher out there teaching stuff that's not scripture and they bring them into a group, there's a problem out there. Now, in this for Peter is writing to the Jewish Christian, and the people he's talking to is about Israel. There were false prophets among the people of Israel. God told Moses to let the parents teach the children. Be careful about sending your kids to school. Check to see what they're learning, because some of it's false. Some of it's against your beliefs. Some of it, you wonder, what in the world are they teaching us? And here's what I tutor a little girl. I had to buy their book, buy the math book, so I know what they're teaching so I can teach her. And so I know what to teach, because you need to know what math they're teaching, what history they're teaching, what science they're teaching. You, as parents, when you send your kids to school, you need to find out what they're learning. Because who knows, they're slipping some stuff in that you don't agree with. And you say, oh, how was your day today? And they say, fine. And they walk off, you walk off. So you don't have a conversation with your kids. You want to know, hey, what you learned in math today? Or, hey, how about science? You know? So you, as parents, need to keep in line with things. So keep that in mind. Teachers, false teachers, Diet Coke, regular Coke. Okay? There were not only true people of Israel. One example of this is that Ahab and Jehoshaphat sent out against the Assyrian. And this is in 1 Kings. This is a story. They called a bunch of false prophets to Baal, who urged Ahab and Jehoshaphat to go to battle. Jehoshaphat saw immediately that they were not getting a word from God. Israel depends on God. They need a word from God. And this is a story because these two leaders didn't get a word from God, and they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait. Ahab says, yes, but I keep him in the prison because he never says anything good about me. Prophets didn't say anything good about people because they get word from God and they carry out God's word. And sometimes it's not what you want to hear. Same with pastors. When people go into the church and they talk about hell, they talk about adultery, they talk about homosexual, they talk about all this stuff that the Bible says is abomination. They don't want to hear that. They really don't. They want to know about what can you do for me? And they use the phrase, tickle their ears. You know. And we go on to the story. There are many great people who don't like preachers unless he says nice things. Ahab was like that. The prophet of God, Micah, told him that the truth that Ahab didn't like, but they brought Micah in and told Ahab, if you go to battle, you'll be slain. Ahab turned to Jehoshaphat and said, see, he never said anything good to me. Okay, was that his job? To say, hey, how you doing? Your hair looks good, man. Your outfit looks great. But listen to this, listen to what this prophet told him. It's too bad that Ahab didn't listen to him, because he was slain just as Micaiah said he would be. Micaiah was a true prophet of God, but there were also 700 false prophets at the time. 700. How many is out there in the world? He told this guy, hey, you're going to die. See, you never said anything nice to me, so I'm going to keep you locked up. It's interesting. When we look at Scripture, a lot of these people who wrote books wrote about false prophets. They were watching out for their church, because false prophet gets into your church and they cause mayhem. Jude spoke of the same thing. And if we go into verse 8, it says, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Don't that sound like today? They disrespect people all the time. No matter who you are, they're getting disrespected. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring against him the reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebukes you. But these speaks evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beast. See, the archangel Michael said, hey, I'm not going to do this. This is not my job. He just told Satan, beware. The Lord knows what you're doing. See, we think we have to go out and fight our battles. We should know that when we are upset by somebody who makes accusations or calls us names, we think we have to go back to them and do the same thing. We could use the phrase what they'd use. The Lord knows you, and he will take care of you, and walk away. You know? And we talk about Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who is ungodly among them, all of their ungodly deeds which they have committed. Now, Peter says the same thing in chapter 2. Remember, Peter is saying, hey, let's look. He gives three examples in second chapter of 2 Peter. He uses the ancient world, but saved Noah. Noah preached to these ancient people, hey, there's going to be a flood if you don't get right. But the only ones that was righteous in God's eyes was seven of them. And guess what happened? He flooded the earth and killed all the people. See, God can do that. And then he uses another example here. Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot and his wife was the only one rescued out of this city. Why? Even though Lot had little faith, he still had faith. His wife didn't have faith because she looked back. And guess what happened to her? You know, when we get saved and we get to introduce Christ, we tend to look back at our life before we got saved instead of looking forward to see what God has for us. Who knows? Lot was torment inside. You know, if you know you're not in the right place, it bothers you. It bothered Lot. He was in a city of disgusting stuff. And he hated it. You know, he hated it. Then we go back up a little bit farther. The angels. One third of the angel was tossed down to out of the heavens. And the devil was with them. And they roaming the earth causing chaos. But the devil was in this little hornies here. He was glory. He was gorgeous. He was glory. And sometimes these false teachers or false prophets are all nice and good, got the nice car, got the nice clothes, and they're out there and people are looking at him. Who's this guy? And they kind of drool at the mouth. Man, I want to be him. I want to be with him. And then they caught up with his speech. I want to be with him. And in the long run, guess what happens? He's got you locked up. He's got you where he wants you. I've heard many stories about people who get out of cults, and it's not pretty. They don't want to go back. Some of them may look back and turn into a pillar of salt, like Lot's wife. You know, cast them down to hell, the angels. But he didn't judge them right now. He put them down there in judgment later. Peter's mean here, but he's got a point. Satan deceived Adam and Eve, or Eve. And then we'll look what happened to them. Just a few words of scripture changes people's thoughts. We look at a Bible and we say, oh, those are nice words. Look at the words to make sure they're accurate. Look at the words to make sure they're from God. Anybody? This is the only book you need. You don't need any other book to tell you what you have to do in life. It's good to have commentaries, but don't let that be the one to tell you what Scripture's about. Because you don't know if they're right. It's their interpretations, as I was told earlier in the morning. He used the word they. What did they say? But what did the Bible tell us? Remember that. Watch out for false teaching, false doctrine, and false prophets. There's more than 700 out there. Be careful. Listen to Peter. He had it all figured out. It took him a while. It took him betraying Jesus 3 times. It took him a long time. It takes us a long time, too, in the process. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you for Peter's words. And allow us to know that we need to look out for false prophets and false teachers in this world. To make sure that we look at your word, that your word is true for things. We need to be studying. We need to look at the Bereans and see how they did it. We just have to make sure that we are in line with your words. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.